Okay, we are starting a brand new series called Doing Life Together. I'm in charge of technology, but I got to figure it out. I'm not using my laptop. I'm using Patty's laptop because my laptop doesn't have PowerPoint on it. But Patty's does, so that's good. And I got to use a mouse and a clicker, so this could be challenging today. Yes. So just give me a moment here. At work, I have people that do this stuff for me. I don't actually have to do it. Well, I think we're good here. I just got about three things to set up. Thank you. Doing life together. Point that way, I guess. Yay! Oh. Interesting. So, do we have teachers here? Do we have English teachers? So, what's wrong with this? Say it again. That's right. It's missing you and I. You like that? Let's go back. Right there. That's good. Hey, I came up with that myself. When I went over the slides with my kids, they said they wouldn't come to church because it was too corny. So doing life together, it's missing you and I. I'm not saying that about, this is just general terms, like our church is really good. It might only speak to one person here today, which would be awesome. But if it is missing you, let's change that. What community is? Look at that, So the definition of community is a group of living things sharing the same environment. They usually have shared attitudes, interests, goals, and vision. In human communities, people have the same beliefs often and needs, and this affects the identity of the group and the people in it. So I remember transitioning from elementary school, which was grade 7 at T.M. Roberts. And I know we have a couple T.M. Roberts alumni here. So I went there K to 7, graduated, didn't have to do any repeats. But going into Parkland was a total different ballgame. Like, you're pretty safe in an elementary school. You're with the same kids. We did have two classes, so there was always two grade 5s, two grade 6, two grade 7, but generally you knew all the people. When you go from, say, T.M. Roberts to Parkland, there's probably 5 or 6 different elementary schools that are now joining together. And when you go to Parkland or junior high, and if you remember any high school movies, there's always groups, right? There's the athletic group, the jocks, the nerds, the geeks, the chess club, the arts, the band students. Not that there's anything bad with any of those. We had a really cool one. It was called the Culture Vultures in Parkland. Where's Ken? Do you remember that? Ken Kyle? Culture Vultures? Were you the leader of the Culture Vultures? Were you one of the leaders of the Culture Vultures in Parkland? Ken was my basketball coach in Parkland, so we had some good times together. So when you go in there, it's like you're going to be part of a group, whether you like it or not. There was another group. They were called they smoked out of the log, so I won't say what their name was, but they smoked out there anyway, and they were just a group on their own as well. God is community too, and that's what I want to focus on today, that God shows that he is community. I think we all desire to be a part of a community, even if you are kind of a lone soldier. I think there's something inside of us that wants to be a part of something, that wants to be a connection. As Danielle said, doesn't want to be overlooked or misplaced in that. Like, we do desire to be a part of something, usually part of something greater than our just our sphere of influence. So God shows us that he is community in Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make human beings in our image. So us means there's more than one, right? To be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's a little community right there, an awesome community. All community is formed out of that. Nothing outside of that exists. Like, everything exists because of that. In verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So he's already starting with community. And we're created in God's image. God is community. So God wants us, I believe, to be in community as well. So why did God create us? Was he bored? Was he lonely? Was he... You fill in the blanks. Like, we all have our ideas of why God created us. We do know that God is perfect and lacks nothing. So we know that it wasn't because he was bored, and we know that it wasn't because he was lonely. Because he's perfect, he doesn't lack anything. He created us to display his glory. He created us for his pleasure. It pleased him to create us. And how do I know that? Because the scripture says, then God looked over all he made, and he saw that it was very good. I looked at a lot of different translations, and it wasn't just good, it was like very good. It was, so he was very pleased with it, with what he created. He created us to reveal his love. Scripture says in Galatians 1:15, but even before I was born, this is Paul talking, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him, there's that pleased again, to reveal his son to me that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. So that's a mission of one reason why we're created as well. It's, I created you because I want to display my love, I want to show my glory, but he also created us because he has a mission planned. God is relational, and we've seen that, like, right in the beginning of time when he created Adam and Eve, he was very one-on-one, had a very intimate fellowship. Ephesians 1:4-5 says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and again, it gave him great pleasure. The Old Testament is very vast and big and lots of stories, but I want to focus a bit more on what Jesus means to our life. When Jesus came, we read from the scripture earlier that was his way for us to regain that connection. There was the fall, of course, where sin came into the world and it broke that intimate fellowship between God and man. There was still some communication, but it wasn't the same intimate fellowship. And Jesus' goal was to bridge that gap. He came to earth, it was the plan from the beginning, bridge that gap that sin had caused between us and God. His mission was to become like us and show us the way back to the Father. That's really simple terms, that we needed something that we could relate to more, and Jesus, the man, was something that we could relate to, and he could show us back to the Father. And this is what we call the good news, is that bridging that gap. But for the good news to spread to all mankind, we were singing about it, right? That we're going to be history makers to all mankind. That God wants to partner with each one of us. And that's what Jesus did when he called his disciples. Jesus preached to big groups on the hills. He fed 5,000. He did huge miracles. But he also had a smaller group that he invested more time into, and that was the 12 disciples. And even amongst those 12 disciples, I believe Jesus spent more time with some of them, like James, John, and Peter. He had more of an inner circle that really got to know him, and he really shared some of the deeper truths and revealed himself. So Jesus called his disciples back then, but he also is calling us today. We're still the church. We're still needing to spread the good news. We're still needing to share that good news outside of this building. Does anybody know what that is? A hermit crab. Do you know what the purpose of a hermit crab is? Goes and it finds a shell, right? It just lives by itself, and when it gets too big for that shell, it goes and finds another empty shell. Okay, so this is not scriptural, this next part, so just so you guys know, it's not in the Bible. You ready? So the Trinity, according to the hermit crab, is me, myself, and I, right? So that's not scriptural, obviously, but to the hermit crab or to a hermit person, sometimes we can be like that, that it's more me, myself, and I, and that is not the message that I want to preach today. Community, what does that look like? I'm told that long, awkward pauses are good. I watched this video about 10 times in the last couple days, and it just brought my heart. I just saw something new every time about our church, like the people bouncing around. There's some action, some activity, and I really loved it. It was awesome. Thanks. I had to relinquish control there for just a minute, but it feels good to be back. So the Bible does tell us in Acts what the church is supposed to be like. Acts 2, 41, 42, and 46. So those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. And one more here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. To breaking bread and to prayer. Well, other than this one, are you getting a theme of where we're going this morning? It's really like we're talking about us here. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miracle signs and wonders. I didn't have any photos on my computer of that, but I really would have rather had something of us doing that. And I know that we've had some bread. I was thinking we didn't have any pictures of us praying for you, but stuff like this is happening here. That's the theme this morning. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Sometimes we forget that as a church body, we can be maybe thinking of other stuff, but this is just a reminder that some of these things we're doing, and I know that the Lord is pleased and it is good. Does everybody know what this was here? That was a great day. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who are being saved. So in my study that I was doing to talk about being a community, this random tree popped up. Does anybody know what kind of tree this is? Not a poplar. Aspen. Do you guys know anything about the aspen tree? They grow in groups. So those are actually shoots that shoot up. The root is one system. So Ephesians 3:16-19 says, I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. You don't have to share that video with your friends. That's not part of the message. That's just something that I pulled from National Geographic. I found that pretty amazing that so one root system had huge amounts of shoots coming off it, and it just really was an example to me of how Christ is with the church and his body, that he is that root and that we are that shoot that that shines out. And we have so much in common. We have a same vested interest. We don't have the exact same walk, but I think for the most part we have the same interests and goals, that we want to know God's love, we want to share God's love, we want to experience his power in our day-to-day lives. And it was just a great example. So practical application. Plug in somewhere. Sunday services. Life groups, which we're plugging the last couple weeks. That we're doing. This is an official advertisement for life groups. We got some that we want to start up and look pretty thin from the last time I looked, but I know that life groups is really important for more intimate growth, which we're going to talk about in a minute. Service ministry within our church body. So church is not a place I go to. Church is not an event that I attend. Church is a spiritual family that I belong to. Would everybody agree with that? Yeah. So this is Sunday morning at the park, and to me, Sunday morning's awesome. It's a place for us to celebrate, get together, and it's like a family reunion of sorts. And that kind of was with other churches in the park. And I encourage you guys to come to church, because when you're not here, we really miss you guys. Like, I love seeing your guys' face, love having like a minute or two to talk, and you guys are missed when you're not here. Life groups. That's not our youth, that's just a stock photo. So a life group is a place where we can be a little bit something different than a church. It's a place to be yourself. It's a place to be in deeper fellowship. And it's a place to be building lasting friendships. When we come to church on Sunday, we can kind of put our default mask on. Not everybody, but some people can come in and put a mask on, and I don't mean like makeup and foundation, things like that, but a mask that doesn't necessarily show the real you, that you put it on because it's more default, because maybe you're uncomfortable in this situation. The problem with the mask is that it's not the real you, and it usually hides, like the superheroes, a lot of them didn't want the public to know who they really were, so they put on a mask. Batman, Spider-Man, things like that. So the people, if you have a mask on, they see the mask and they don't actually see the real you. In a life group, it's a bit harder to have the mask because there's more intimate conversations and it's easy to tell if you're lying about something. Oh, how you doing? I'm doing good. I don't think so. Like, you don't necessarily get that on a Sunday morning, but more in a life group, you might have a closer, intimate. And it's hard on Sunday because you don't know everybody. Like a family reunion, you might not know that great aunt or that crazy cousin, or I don't know where you fall in the family reunion, but you might not know everybody as intimate as if you're in a smaller group. You get to know what's happening, you know, about their jobs, their families, this lifestyle, how things, struggles, victories, things like that. We don't have enough opportunities here for everybody to go that deep. The human body. I went less science and went more animation. So we are one body, and we have many parts of that body. So we are a church body. Jesus is the foundation. He's the root. We're just going to read the scripture here because it's awesome to read scripture. So the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free, but we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, just as one part, if the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less important, any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. So God has put each part just as he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. Wendy, I can't say I don't need you in this body. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body seem weakest or least important are actually the most necessary. Danielle, that's for you. Not overlooked. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. And of course, when we're saying members, we're talking about a physical body, but we know that they're also referring to the church body. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each is a part of it. So we here at New Life, we make up a body. We're all different. We have different gifts, skills, responsibilities. We all have different roles in this church body on Sunday and throughout the week. And together, though, we make up something really special. And I'd want you guys to get a hold of that as New Life Church, that we've been setting up over the last year a mission. We've shifted our focus a little bit. You can see from some of the slides that we had this morning that we are doing some of the things that is called in the Bible. They may be a bit less traditional and a bit more proactive or just a bit more current. And as we do that, we have to remember that we want to keep, it's kind of cliche, but we want to keep the unity in community. And I love this community. Patty and I talk about our church body a lot, even though we don't fellowship a lot with everybody through the week. But when we look at each person, when we're praying for the church, or when we are just thinking about different members of this body, we always think about what that person brings. And something special for me this week, and I know it wasn't for me, but Edmund and Shelley had an open house on Thursday, and that was awesome. And they had a second open house. One was on a Tuesday and one was on a Thursday, and it was so good to go up to your guys' house that you opened it up and put yourself out there, and it was just awesome. And I know that a few other people had open houses. Marilee had one, Dawn had one, not sure who else had one, Carolyn had one, but that was awesome, just getting into people's homes. There's something special. This is really formal on Sunday. We try to make it a little less formal, but we're here for 2 hours. But throughout the week, we have so many hours that we can invest into each other. I just love this group here, too. It's was up there twice. I don't know if you saw that. It was part of another slide. But that's, people say our future, but that's our now. Like, this is right now. These young people are right now leading in ministry. Like, within there, that small group, we have three team leads of our groups, with Travis, Danielle, cool. So my challenge is, this morning, find a spot where you fit. And Carolyn's going to come up and hit that home.